Welcome to Dish the Dirt, a light-hearted and fun podcast about Australian flower growers, their stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. I'm your host Rebecca, and each week I speak to a different farmer and get them to dish the dirt. Dish the Dirt acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello, welcome back to another season of Dish the Dirt. It's been a few months now and I've been busily recording all over the place. So now we're in season 7 and I've decided to mix it up a bit. Wild, I know. Crazy. I'm throwing industry chats into the mix, which is going to throw a light on pricing, importation of seeds, burnout, and other necessary subjects that I think we need to be talking about within the industry, along with a few amazing New Zealand growers and collectives, and then our wonderful Australian growers also, who are sharing their stories, knowledge, and insights into the industry. I was going to split them all up into different seasons, but honestly, I've just been having so many amazing chats, and I feel very inspired by these people who I've been talking to, and I feel that you will too. So I think it's just best to get them out there, because I think everyone around Australia at the moment needs a little bit of inspiration and something a little bit bright to be listening to whilst you're either digging in the mud or, you know, battling those floods or droughts or whatever is going on out there. It's pretty wild. So yeah, I'm throwing it all in the mix together. Anyway, I also, along with the podcast, am bringing back industry days next year and other very special industry related events. So keep an eye out for those. Our first industry day is coming up in New South Wales in February, and tickets for that will be out next week. If you would like to know any more information about that, you can contact me via email on dishthedirt@gmail.com. And I can shoot you out what's happening, or yeah, just keep an eye on my Instagram at dishthedirt and you'll see when ticket sales come up, there'll be a link there. We're also working on our website at the moment, so that should be live and you'll be able to get tickets through there and see all the farmers and do all fun stuff on the website at some point in the near future. Anyway, I really wanted to say that my thoughts go out to anyone who has lost crops during the Victorian floods and are still feeling the effects of the floods earlier this year in New South Wales. I had a little Instagram chat with a farmer the other night and I asked, what can we do to help practically? And he said, just buy local, keep doing your floristry work, keep talking to local farmers, and yeah, buy local when you can, buy our stuff when you can, when it's there, buy it. So I think anyone out there wanting to practically help, if you're a florist, keep floristing and keep buying local product. If you're a consumer, look for those local bunches, ask your florist what their bunches are made up of, if they know their farmer. If you're buying from your wholesaler as a florist, maybe ask them what's local and what's good, and I know that they'll point you in the right direction. Anyway, on to this week's episode. This week I speak to Gideon from Ball Australia. I feel that Ball Australia needs no introduction because most people listening will probably know exactly who I am talking about, but Ball Horticultural Company Australia is part of a global family of breeders and researchers providing the Australian horticultural industry with the most commercially viable and innovative plants from around the world. Ball Australia offers a daily national distribution of quality seed and vegetative lines for flowers, vegetables, herbs, cut flowers, and tissue culture. I spoke to Gideon and we really concentrated on the importation of seeds and the phytosanitation certificate that you now need to import into Australia and what that means for the cut flower industry and what that means for Ball Australia. It was so wonderful to speak to Gideon, and there's lots of takeaway moments from this episode, I think. If you would like to, we speak at the end of the episode about Trials Week, which is held out at Ball Australia in Skye from December the 6th through until the 9th. And they open up their gardens and show you what they've been trialing. And as a wholesale grower, you can go and have a look there. All you need to do is register on their website, which is ballaustralia.com. You can also register on their website to speak to a sales representative, and we speak about all of this at the end of the episode, and also I will put it into the show notes if you're wanting to reach out. It was wonderful again to have Gideon on the show, and I really, really appreciate your time and your knowledge. So thank you so much, and let's get into it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, Ball Horticultural Corporation was started in 1905 in West Chicago in the US, and it started as a wholesale cut flower operation, actually. The Ball company is now in its fourth generation of the Ball family, which is great. So it's over 117 years under the same family. So the great granddaughter of the founder is now the official owner of the company.
So, oh my goodness.
It is very unusual in all business, and very unusual in the horticultural business also. Most of our large competitors now around the world are multinationals, really, you know, owned by chemical companies or investment brokers or whatever. But we're a very big company worldwide, but we still are in the hands of the original family who founded it. So the company ethos across the world is very much family oriented, which is great. And
wonderful.
Ball Australia, we started our life as another company called Colgrave Seeds, which was the Australian arm of an English seed distribution company. And about 1998 or 9, Ball Corporation bought the Colgrave Company in England. And as an aside, we were actually bought by Ball at the same time. So we've been in operation as Ball since 1999.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
The Ball Corporation itself, they're involved and always have been involved in research and development, breeding. They do a lot of seed breeding and vegetative breeding. They do production. They do seed production. They do plant production, and they do distribution. And we're involved in 20 countries around the world on 6 continents. So it's very broadly spread.
Yeah, wonderful. Is that how you decide on what is going to go on around the world? Is that how you decide what's going to go into production?
Yeah, so every Ball company around the world do different things. And what we do for Ball in Australia, we are a distribution company. So we buy and distribute seed. We also have a production nursery here in Skye, and we're growing seed plugs from seed. We also have our own vegetative production facility, and we also import and sell tissue culture plugs, and we get stuff from all over the world. And we distribute everything. We grow everything here from this side in Skye, and we distribute to all parts of Australia, from Tasmania to Cairns, from Darwin to Perth, and all points in between, to wholesale growers around the country.
So talk to me a little bit about importing the seeds into Australia. I think that's one thing that sort of come up with growers recently is that there was the new phytosanitation requirements coming in. And does that affect you in sort of what's coming into production in the following seasons?
It certainly does. in a general sense, the smaller the world gets, the more difficult biosecurity regulations get for many countries. And this year, from April 28th, because Australia is very concerned about the threat of Capra beetle, of Trichoderma, which is a devastating pest to have, particularly in grain industries and et cetera. So they're very, very, very keen to keep it out of the country. So as of April 28th this year, the Department of the DAFF, they changed their name several times, the Quarantine Department, they instituted a requirement that all seed for sowing, which is all seed, now requires a phytosanitary certificate from its country of origin, stating that it has been inspected for Trichoderma or Capra beetle material, eggs, body parts, whatever. So that has become a big thing in the seed importation challenge that we have. And it applies to anybody who wants to import seed, any seed from anywhere.
Yeah, okay. And how does it affect you directly?
It's sort of a case-by-case basis. If we're buying a lot of seed from a company, we can get a phytosanitary certificate that covers all the lots. There's a cost to that. Where it's going to become difficult for us and for anybody is where people want to import small amounts of seed from a company. So, for example, if you've been importing a seed lot of it's worth $20, say, you now have to add the cost of a phytosanitary certificate to that, which could be up to, I have one this week quoted to me from a European company, of 175 euros. So your $20 seed packet suddenly becomes very expensive, and it doesn't matter how much seed you bring in on that. The phytosanitary cost is the same. It's a government document that has a cost attached to it.
Yeah.
So that will make it much more cumbersome for smaller importers to get all these niche things that are great, but they're going to become much more difficult and much more expensive to get in.
Yeah. And is that something that Ball Australia will look at, perhaps bringing in more niche products into Australia, or it's just something that you can't provide because of quantities?
It's something that we're very interested. I've noticed on a couple of websites for some packet seed companies that I believe were previously selling to Australia, a couple of them I've looked at said we can no longer send overseas. I think that's probably the reason why. From our point of view, we're always looking for new customers, of course, and some of those customers are not big customers. And there's some fantastic niche products around. The challenge that we all have now is how to make those more niche products financially viable for us and for our potential customers. If you're used to paying a certain price for something and then all of a sudden it's going to be going right up, there becomes a value judgment that has to be made on that.
Yeah, because it then impacts florists, it then impacts consumers when things go crazy through the roof. In this, so follow world trends. How do you decide what's coming up?
That's a good question. We work closely with, we have a lot of suppliers of material, and we work closely with them. Until the last couple of years with COVID, of course, but we travel quite regularly. We attend a lot of trials in both Europe and in the USA. So that's a good place to see new varieties being bred, because all of the breeders that's what they do is breed. So they're constantly coming up with new material to look at.
Mm.
So our basic plan is that we go, we look at trials. We see things that we think might be of value to our industry, and then we will sometimes get trial material in if we can, and then trial it first in Australia, because Australia is very different to everywhere else, of course, and we have And we have different climatic conditions throughout the country, of course. So we trial stuff and then we'll evaluate it. We have trial gardens here at our site and we look at things and then we decide, we think this is going to go. And if we can trial it to customers at the same time we do, which is good because you get them on board from the start. Mm. And then we decide what we're going to, if we're going to give something a go.
Yeah. So that's quite an expensive process, really.
It's very expensive.
Yeah. And also, is it quite hard to change quickly? So say no one loves foxgloves anymore, but you've just spent a whole heap of money on getting all these different varieties of foxgloves in. Is that something that you're constantly taking into consideration as well? Because it must be quite hard once you've been trialing something for a while to then just ditch it all and restart.
It's very, very difficult. Whenever I speak to breeders, you know, I say, you guys have to, guys and girls, whoever the breeders are, they have a very thick skin because, you know, some things can take 10, 15 years to breed up to a point where it's a commercial viability. And then they'll show that to people and customers will say, no, don't like it. It's not good or it's too tall or whatever. So there's that. And we have the same thing. A little anecdote we had was 3 years ago, you know, indoor plants became huge. Almost overnight. So we were doing a lot of tissue culture stuff. And so seed monsterias all of a sudden became incredibly popular.
Yeah.
And we bought tens of thousands of dollars worth of monstera seed in, sold the whole lot. It was fantastic. Now, monstera seed, they only harvest it once a year. It has a very limited shelf life.
Hmm.
Next year came up and we asked the sales team, what do you think for next year? And they all said, yep, gung ho, it's all go. So we bought over a million seeds of monsteras in, and I almost overnight the demand for those has dropped through the floor, and I have tens of thousands of dollars of monstera seed downstairs that is rapidly deteriorating, and we're going to have a massive dump at the end of that. That's an extreme story, but that happens, as you said. Trends change. What's popular this year may not be popular the next year, and particularly with your cut flower growers, I believe with colours. You know, colours come in and out of fashion so quickly, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. And
trying to keep ahead of that game is very, very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Are there growers that come to you and ask for certain varieties? Does that happen?
It happens on a daily basis. On any request we get, we have to look at that request. We have to see, is that a one-off request just for one customer, or do we think we could sell that to other people? And then it's a numbers value judgment to see what is feasible financially for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's often minimum amounts of seed you have to buy as well, which may not be high in value, but it might be a massive amount of seed.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff is quite inexpensive to purchase, but it's all the ongoing costs that have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah. And do you think there's enough research into industry within Australia? Do you think, you know, with all of these trials that you do, and you said that we need more help from the government for it?
There's not a huge amount of breeding done in Australia. Most of the, I mean, there's a lot of individual breeders here, but it takes a long time to get stuff up and going. It's a very expensive prospect. There's very little seed production done in Australia to counteract the import issues, because seed production is an expensive process as well. So it's difficult. That's why we sort of need to go overseas to look for, that's where all of the material comes from, really. Having said that, we do deal with some Australian breeders. We have a lot of our lavenders come from an Australian breeder. Our polyanthus come from an Australian breeder. We have a supplier of vegetables who's doing a little bit of breeding and seed production work for us as well. But almost all of our imports, all of our products are imported just because of the necessity, really. Stuff's just not available.
Problem in the future. So if we keep on getting more and more sort of control, border control brought in. Mm. Where do we sit if we need to bring in all of these seeds from overseas? Should we be investing in breeding here, do you think, more, even though it is quite an expensive thing? Is that something that we should be pushing for as an industry so that we can secure these seeds?
Mm. That's a very interesting question. Again, it comes down to a value judgment and an economic model, because you know the seed distributors don't necessarily just sell stuff that they breed or produce.
Yeah,
it's okay. Coming from all over the place. You know, I know. So Ball, for example, the Ball Corporation, Pan American Seed, is its seed breeding division, and they breed seeds. But Ball Australia, we are selling seed from 40 different breeders.
Okay.
Because no one has everything that you want.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very broadly spread. So it would be very challenging to attract someone to invest in a lot of seed breeding and seed production here. I think it would be, be feasible. And of course, we're a very big country with a very small population. So
that
makes it difficult as well.
I guess my concern
doing that here. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah, it would be really great. I think just, you know, with this whole COVID thing that's happened, and do realize that it's so small so quickly, and relying on things coming in from overseas can be quite tricky. And it's just, I guess, if you're thinking to like 20 years, 30 years, do we want to be seen?
You are correct. It is it's a long-term prospect. You are looking at, you know, 20, 30 years before you get that up and going.
Yeah.
And you're correct. You know, that as the world gets smaller, it gets more and more difficult. It's never been as difficult biosecurity-wise than it has now been in this industry for over 40 years, and that's just a nightmare. Getting stuff. And no one's criticizing the fact that we need strong biosecurity regulations. It is beginning more and more difficult and costly and time consuming just to get material into the country.
So say if you're bringing in a huge shipment of seed and one of your seeds is contaminated, does that mean that the whole lot gets destroyed, or it's just
one packet?
That's all right.
We have every packet of seed that comes into this business is inspected by a quarantine inspector, every single packet, and we have less than a tenth of 1% of any issues going on.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, which is great. But still, everything gets inspected every time.
And that costs every single time, I guess.
We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in inspection charges a year.
Yeah. And I guess this, right from this is right at the beginning of flower production. So this is tacking on an extra cost to any flower production now happening within Australia. Is that correct? Because you have to sort of factor it in, don't you? Any cost is factored into the product that you finally sell. So
you have to factor all the costs in. Everything you do,
So has it massive plugs?
It hasn't impacted the price of our plugs on almost everything. It's really going to impact the introduction of more niche products in small amounts. That's where it's gonna hit. The people who are the micro growers who perhaps were importing their own small amounts of seed previously, that's going to become very difficult.
We support smaller farmers because of your advice.
So what we're doing right now, because we are very interested in and busily signing up micro growers as customers of ours, so we're looking at some of these niche stuff, and we're sitting down and trying to work out how can we make this work so that it works for our company, it works for small growers, so it doesn't, you know, the costs don't prohibit them from even looking at stuff. We're just trying to look at our whole costing model, and because we have a sort of a model that we do on costing, which works for most things, it doesn't work for these niche products. So we're in the process of trying to work out how we can best service this market in a way that works for everybody. Which is challenging, but we are thinking heavily about it. We actually had a meeting about it last week here about how we look at that.
Yeah, fantastic. And how do people reach out to you if they're wanting to get in touch and to chat more about your plans for sort of these more niche products?
We have a website, ballaustralia.com, which has an enormous amount of information about all of our products. There's images on there. There are contact details. There's information about all of our plug sizes, etc. We have a sales team located all around the country as well in each state. So they are out actively talking to people. We have potential customers contacting us, and we will forward those. We either deal with them in-house or we'll forward them on to the sales managers in each state to collate all this information. Even though we have over 3,000 items on our product list altogether. Which is great. But our biggest questions we get is, what's new? What else you got? Which is great. I mean, very interesting. And there's a tremendous thirst for new products, which we like as well. My role as product manager, that's what I do, trying to source new products all the time. So, yes, we're always looking for new stuff, improved stuff, and ways to bring it to market.
Fantastic.
It is challenging at the moment, and I don't see that situation changing in the near future at all. Unless we become inundated with Capra beetle, which will be a terrible thing for everybody. They would drop the requirements, but we'd have massive losses in our other industries
And would it be massive losses within the flower industry as well, do you think? Is it something that affects flowers? I'm just interested.
No, not necessarily. It's a real issue for grain crops. It does.
Yeah.
We do like dried flower products. It's where a lot of Capra beetles like to live. So that is an issue. So if it became a real issue in Australia, who knows what requirements might happen then, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I dread to think about it.
So it wouldn't be good for anyone. So is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you wanted to get across about Ball Australia? I actually wanted to go back quickly and ask you about, you've got, you said that you have different people in different parts of Australia trialing material. Is that correct? So you have, does Ball have different sites around Australia?
No, we give small samples to customers to trial. We actually do run a trial. We started last year in Queensland. We ran a cut flower trial in Queensland last May at the DPI facility. We rented some space there. So that was our first foray into a trial in another state, which was interesting because they had so much rain up there. We were contemplating cancelling the trial the week before because we had so much rain, but we persevered and we ended up having a good trial. So we are planning a trial again in May for next year for Queensland growers. We also have down here at our site in Skye for wholesale growers, we have Trials Week, which is run from December 6th to 9th at our facility here. And we have over 700 varieties of material in our garden beds and in pots, some cut flowers, but a lot of other annuals and potted colour stuff. So all of any wholesale grower who's a customer of ours is welcome to attend that. Information on that is on our website as well, on the ballaustralia.com website.
So you can register. Fabulous. Yeah, great. That's always great to know about those days because sometimes I think even smaller growers find it hard to find out that information. So if they know to look at your website to get in touch and to register for a wholesale grower,
to the general public, of course, which is difficult, but any wholesale grower is very welcome. You can register online and, it's the gardens look fantastic. It's a really good
place. Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you sell to garden centres?
Not directly. No, we deal with wholesale growers only. We do have a couple of of wholesale grower retailers. So they're growing material and selling it as well. But we deal with wholesale growers first and foremost.
Yeah, wonderful. Mm. And back to that question, is there anything I haven't touched on that you wanted to share about Ball Australia and also just about this importation of seeds?
No, I only to say that it is very difficult. We are working hard to try and see what we can do. And also, I just wanted to go back to the website, which we've done a couple of times. I wanted to mention the trials, which you helped me raise, which was great. And all of our contact details are on there. So if you have any questions, please go through the website.
Yeah, wonderful.
No quick fix on the importing. I'm sorry to say for us as well. It's very challenging.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, I guess, that has to happen. And maybe in the future, like I was saying, we need to, I don't know, hopefully somebody with lots of money will come along and invest in breeding seeds.
That would be lovely. On biosecurity, I believe, just for your listeners' sake, that in conversations I've had with the department, that they are also investing a lot of money in scanning equipment for things coming through the post. So that's something to consider also. They're going to be a lot more able to pick anything of an organic nature up through the post. So if anyone wants to try and beat the system, I would not recommend it.
You are thinking about those more smaller niche products and also trying to work with smaller growers as well as the big guys out there, because any help that we can get to move the Australian flower industry forward is amazing, I think.
Absolutely. We have a worldwide company mantra, Rebecca, and it is colour your world. That's what we're all about. We want to help as much as we possibly can.
Gideon, thank you, Gideon, for being part of Dish the Dirt. It was wonderful for you to share your knowledge and insights into the importation of seeds and the new phytosanitation requirements around that. If you are wanting to get in touch with Ball Australia, you can do so via their website at ballaustralia.com. Look out for that trials week coming up December the 6th till the 9th. It's actually quite hard to say, isn't it? Quite fast. And yes, you can register for that also on their website. So thanks again, Gideon. If you're wanting to be part of Dish the Dirt, please get in touch via my email at dishthedirt@gmail.com. I am still recording for this season, so whether you are in New Zealand or in Australia, get in touch with me. I'm also looking for people who want to talk about pricing and farmer burnout. It's a big thing that is happening right now. So yes, more to come, many more weeks of great stories, knowledge and insights into the flower industry. Thank you so much for listening and for being part of this conversation. Get out there and buy local, support those local flower farmers. They really are working so hard at the moment. Great. Keep being blooming fabulous.